colleagues, please take your seats so we can begin on time. Thank you very much. Good morning, one and all. I call to order this informal initial discussion on the zero draft of the outcome document for the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development. Distinguished delegates, I now invite the Proprietary Committee to continue its general discussions and comments on the zero draft of the outcome document. Australia, 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 please. Thank you. May I remind delegations wishing to take the floor to raise their flags. I would also like to remind you that the Bureau has decided that interventions by member states would be interspersed with interventions by representatives of major groups, the UN system agencies, and intergovernmental organizations. I also would like to remind all speakers to keep their statements as brief and succinct as possible, and to observe the time limit of 3 minutes. In this regard, I encourage speakers to keep an eye on their microphone, which has a light that will start blinking when their time limit is up. The first speaker on my list is Israel. Madam, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Allow me to start by thanking the co-chairs and the secretariat for their dedication in producing a concise and focused zero draft. At the Rio Plus 20 Summit of June 2012, the international community will be presented with the critical task of renewing and reinvigorating its commitment to sustainable development. It is a chance for the countries of the world to examine practices, setbacks, and achievements towards advancing the sustainable development goals that were set 20 years ago. Mr. Co-Chair, Israel believes that the zero draft is a well-rounded initial document. While much more can certainly be accomplished, it is a strong basis from which to approach negotiations. Israel was especially satisfied with the emphasis placed on water and technology, as we know that these areas will be pivotal in achieving the world's sustainable development goals. The zero draft notes that human development cannot and will not progress without water. As with many natural resources, the real problem is how we, as custodians of that resource, manage it. Because of our geographical realities, Israel has a deep understanding of the importance of preserving and recycling water. Israel has developed sophisticated systems for drip irrigation, seawater desalination, and water reclamation. Currently, 80% of Israel's wastewater is recycled, and over 50% of water for agricultural use comes from treated wastewater. As we improve the quality of treated wastewater, this figure is rising. The sharing of expertise and best practices in areas such as water management will assist in closing the development gap that continues to plague our planet. We therefore welcome the content of paragraph 33 of the Zero Draft, which refers to support for the creation of an international knowledge-sharing platform to facilitate countries' green economy policy design and implementation. This will include a directory of technical services and technology. Israel would like to add that this directory would be of value to all countries. Furthermore, paragraphs 118 to 120 on science and technology are of critical importance, as they will ensure that the benefits of green economy reach beyond merely those with technological means. Israel believes Rio Plus 20 should place strong emphasis on agriculture, particularly green agriculture. Agriculture has the power to create economic growth, mitigate the effects of climate change, increase food security and nutrition, protect and renew the environment, and empower women, who constitute up to 90% of farmers in rural regions. Green rural agriculture can also balance the impact of rapid urbanization. In the final document, Israel would like to see a greater emphasis on the importance of education to sustainable development. The most effective ambassadors for sustainable development are the youth. Tools and knowledge must be provided from a young age. We believe that the voluntary commitments of paragraph 128 should include those relating to education for sustainable development from the earliest stages of education. Over the last 20 years, the global perspective on sustainable development has evolved significantly. To ensure the most productive and cohesive results of Rio Plus 20, the international community must adapt to changing circumstances and acknowledge the delicate environment balance in which we find ourselves. Central to this is the notion of the green economy, and we can no longer afford to separate environmental considerations from economic and social policy. Israel has been an active participant in the global processes on sustainable development and looks forward to working with the international community on this draft to build an effective document for Rio Plus 20, focusing on technology, agriculture, and education in relation to the green economy. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Could I call on the workers and trade unions major group?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for this opportunity to comment on this field draft. We are here to collaborate with all governments to make of this text the future we, the workers, want and need. We want to thank the Secretariat for their hard work they have put in this first draft, though we would like to express some deep concerns on its ambition. And this is because the civil draft fails to engage governments in new commitments and actions. We agreed to go to Rio Plus 20 to renew our commitments to sustainable development. But this text simply reaffirms previous engagements and leaves no new ones for future decisions. So reversing this fact, we have some ideas that we would like to share with you. Firstly, we believe that this text will benefit for including a section on the principles of the green economy. We understand the need for green economies, in plural, adapted to the different social and environmental needs of the countries that we will not engage if they are not based on principles, regulations, and a strong leadership by governments. We will not support a green economy based just on voluntary measures by the private sector. The green economy has to be a lot more and better regulated than this current economy and perform social and environmentally. Trade unions have presented a list of principles to guide it, and we will be happy to share this complete list with governments interested. Additionally, we are puzzled by the lack of references in the civil draft to inequality as a serious sustainability problem, or the lack of reference to redistribution and fiscal policies as a solution. We also would like to see in the section related to the major groups, each major group singled out with a specific roles and pledges in a balanced manner. But not everything is to be criticized. We would also like to welcome references to social protection and decent work, and the call for the agreement on the universal social protection floor. Implementation of social protection floors is key to fight vulnerability, and we expect this to be a concrete outcome of Rio. In our way to obtain decent work for all, we welcome on for the inclusion of green and decent jobs as key in advancing sustainability. However, we would like to see specific targets in the green and decent jobs and social inclusion section. The definition of financing sustainable development should be strengthened if we are seeking its real implementation. We welcome the mention to its innovative sources, and we remind governments of the big opportunity they have in June to agree on a financial transaction tax as a concrete outcome of this negotiation. Finally, Chair, workers will not support Rio Plus 20 outcomes if the right to information, public participation, and environmental justice is not fully recognized, as it was in Rio, and elaborated for its implementation. We would like to remind you that sustainable development governance will not improve through the mere creation of institutions. We do hope that the next draft will make clear steps towards the implementation of the Principle 10. We need to leave Rio with concrete outcomes, not just opening new processes for negotiation. So we better start now to define our common targets. Thank you very much, Chair.
Switzerland. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. We would like to thank the Secretariat for the hard work in elaborating the zero draft for our negotiations. We have had a rich preparatory process with ample opportunities for governments and stakeholders for sharing their ambitions and priorities for the Rio Plus 20 conference. We recognize that it is a tremendously difficult job to capture all these different ambitions in a balanced manner within one single document. We generally think that the zero draft presents a good basis and starting point for our negotiations. At the same time, Switzerland is strongly of the opinion that the text needs to be strengthened significantly in order to become a meaningful outcome of the Rio +20 conference. While the document entails the recognition that we have not acted effectively enough on sustainability matters over the last decade, its lack of binding commitments risks setting us up for another decade of underperformance. Let me be very clear on this point, Mr. Co-Chair. If we were to adopt the text as it stands now, we would not be living up to the challenge, and the Rio +20 conference would be regarded as a failure by the public. But we are encouraged by the many interventions of groups, member states and stakeholders which have stated that the text needs to be rendered more ambitious and more action-oriented. There seems to be a broad agreement in which direction we need to work collectively in the next few weeks and months in order to strengthen the text. The proposals for change that are currently often vague and open-ended, they need to be rendered more ambitious, more action-oriented, but they also need to stress the urgency for action much more. The outcome document should contain concrete and time-bound measures and actions on how the international community will contribute to the implementation of sustainable development. In particular, we need to be more specific on how we will be acting and changing the framework conditions for moving towards a greener economy. To moving towards a greener economy so that it results in an international green economy roadmap. And we also need to be more specific through what measures we will strengthen the institutional framework of sustainable development and the international environmental governance, including guidance on the characteristics and the process for the proposed establishment of sustainable development goals. What we also need to do is to re-establish a better balance throughout the text. All dimensions of sustainable development need to be equally reflected, and in this regard we cannot fall behind the outcomes of the Stockholm Conference in 1972 and the Rio Conference of 92. In particular, we should confirm the principles that have emerged from these conferences as cornerstones of the framework for international sustainable development policy and cooperation. Any time spent trying to renegotiate these principles would be not well invested. With regard to the proposed structure of the ICUM document, we support its focus on the two main conference themes. What is unclear at this point is how in particular chapters 3 and chapters 5 relate to each other. There seems to be some duplication with regard to the frameworks for action that are proposed in several parts of the draft text. It might well be that there is some need for rearranging the document in this regard. For example, by including more concrete commitments on governance and green economy in chapters 3 and chapters 4. And moreover, clarification is also needed on the compendium of commitments that is proposed and how such a compendium would relate to existing and future partnerships. Mr. Co-Chair, be assured that we will do our utmost to help you ensuring that the ICUM document deserves the label "the future we want" and does not have to be changed into "the future we might want to consider sometime in the future." Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Local authorities, major group.
Thank you, Chair. The local authority major group welcomes the zero draft. The question we have to ask to evaluate the zero draft by is, does the provision to zero draft foresee lead us to a world of 2050 as we want it to be and as we need it to be in view of planetary boundaries? Does it lead to the future we want? We hope and expect that the UN member states who represent the peoples of the world will achieve an ambitious outcome at their historic Rio +20 conference. The many calls to be more ambitious heard so far today and yesterday are an encouraging sign. From a local authority perspective, we are pleased to see the urban dimension of sustainable development and the role of local governments so prominently included. Yet, there is still room to go even further if we are to make real progress towards sustainable urban development and to achieve multi-level governance for sustainable development.
Section 3C on the Green Economy Framework for Action, for example, could be made much stronger. Local and regional governments are ready to develop green urban economy strategies. In fact, urban goals and benchmarks for progress will be essential to support national green economy strategies. The vital role of cities and local governments should be acknowledged, and urban areas need to be empowered and appropriately supported to take action. To implement Agenda 21, local Agenda 21 was vital. We believe green urban economy can be similarly important for the global transition to a green economy. In Section 4 on the Institutional Framework for Sustainable Development, the role of local government should be highlighted. UNFCCC COP16 recognized a group of governmental stakeholders consisting of local and subnational governments, which could be enlarged to encompass also parliamentarians. Government stakeholders should be integrated into the future IFSD to harness their expertise and implementation capacity. Two options are viable. One option is an overall reform and improvement of the modalities of participation for all major groups. Another option is committing to full participation of governmental stakeholders in global sustainable development policy shaping as well as implementation. Finally, we welcome the inclusion of SDGs in the Zero Draft in order to catalyze concrete and urgent action. We support that sustainable cities are an important issue for SDGs. I thank you for your attention.
Nicaragua.
Señor Presidente.
Mr. Co-Chairman, Nicaragua associates itself with that expressed by the delegation of Algeria on behalf of the G77 and China. We wish to make numerous specific comments on this important matter in our national capacity. Mr. Chairman, our delegation thanks the co-chairs and members of the PrepCom Bureau and the CSD for presenting the Zero Draft in consultation with others, and it has been accepted as the base of our discussions. However, Nicaragua believes that this document does not reflect the ambition that we need to fully achieve the conference's objectives of renewing political commitment that our people has with the matter of state sustainable development. Progress so far and a lack of meeting that set forth in the sustainable development conferences is essential. We need to remedy this. In the Zero Draft, we identify the following matters that back our observations. The Zero Draft does not reflect the lack of compliance with ODA commitments by developed countries, nor is there any mention to new resources that are additional and predictable for supporting implementation efforts in developing countries. This is an essential point, and it reflects the lack of political will of the developed countries. Nicaragua is concerned that the document, the Zero Draft, has not set forth a framework of action focused on the full integration of the three pillars of sustainable development. The economic and social matters are not focused on enough. This has been an obstacle for attaining the MDGs and the internationally agreed upon text. Nicaragua reiterates the need to have technology transfer to developing countries, and this is not reflected in the Zero Draft. Further, the establishment of a mechanism for technology transfer is not reflected in the last document either. The Zero Draft does not stress a change from the current production and consumption model from the developed countries, which should take the helm given their historic roles in these matters. There should be shared but differentiated responsibilities. Some want to see these disappear. The implementation regime in the Zero Draft is weak, and we are concerned that it does not reflect reality. It is unfortunate that the Zero Draft does not reflect the results of the UN conference from 2009, which indicates the impact of the economic and financial crisis on development. Mr. Chairman, Nicaragua calls for reform of the international financial architecture and points out the need to continue to move toward a new international economic order based on the principles of equity, sovereign equality, interdependence, shared interests, cooperation, and solidarity among all states. And this concept is not reflected in the zero draft. Nicaragua reaffirms the need to prioritize poverty eradication, agricultural development, and food security, as well as the right to food and nutrition. There should be a removal of unfair trade barriers. However, in the zero draft, we do not have a clear idea of the developed countries' priorities. Mr. Chairman, regarding the green economy, this should be fully merged with the Rio principles, and there should be an agenda. We should see the Agenda 21, MDG, Johannesburg National Plan of Action, all included. Within the green economy, we should see the tools and means for attaining sustainable development and poverty eradication through economic activities and social activities that are undertaken in an environmentally sound manner, ensuring also social inclusion and equity. We should also see the inclusion of tools for fostering international cooperation in the multilateral forum for bringing sustainable development and for eradicating poverty through technology transfer, access to markets, with an idea on a focus on bringing about multi-sectoral development that covers all aspects and stages of development. Mr. Chairman, Nicaragua takes on the commitment of moving toward reconciliation between the three pillars of sustainable development with a new ethic that will bring us to sustainable development, a new ethic that we bear in our hearts that promotes social justice and environmental justice. Our delegation will be speaking later on this document in our debates. You will have our cooperation. Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chairman.
The next three speakers on my list are St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Venezuela, and Brazil. St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
So, Vincent.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for convening this meeting and allow me to express my pleasure at seeing you in the chair at such an important meeting. St. Vincent and the Grenadines aligns itself with the statements made on behalf of the Group of 77, the Alliance of Small Island Developing States, and the Caribbean Community. My delegation also expresses its support for the statements issued by Guyana and Grenada yesterday afternoon and adopts, rather than repeat, the substance of those statements. Mr. Co-Chair, I take the floor neither to praise nor to bury the zero draft of text that you have so helpfully provided as the basis of our discussions. We all recognize the tremendous work that you and the Secretariat have done in synthesizing the numerous and diverse submissions that you received. Similarly, we also know that in the cut and thrust of the negotiation process, the final version of this document will only have at best a passing resemblance to today's zero draft. As such, I speak today simply to stress that the ultimate Rio Plus 20 outcome document must reflect a level of urgency, ambition, and commitment befitting such a critically important subject. Mr. Co-Chair, after listening to yesterday's interventions from member states, organizations, and civil society, it is clear that you have a difficult and unenviable task ahead of you. Based on what I heard yesterday, the document we produce must at once be concise and comprehensive. It must be forward-looking, yet recall all past commitments. It must embrace both the blue and the green economy. And it must, above all, be concrete and action-oriented, despite a relative dearth of specific concrete or action-oriented ideas emanating from the speakers themselves. It is clear that we have a long way to go between this zero draft and our ultimate outcome document. However, what we have heard unanimously is a call for greater ambition in the outcome document. The zero draft has been accepted as a modest foundation upon which we can build, but we have heard clearly that it is far from desirable as a finished product. The one overriding message that you must take from this initial consultation, therefore, is that everyone in this room requires a greater level of ambition in the outcome document. This mandate for greater ambition must therefore drive the upcoming negotiation process and the decisions that we make in the coming weeks. In this spirit of greater ambition, Mr. Chairman, please allow me to make four brief suggestions that I hope will find favor with you and our negotiating partners. First, we must decide precisely what we collectively hope to achieve at Rio Plus 20 before we begin to quibble over how to commit those goals to paper. Even though we have a very limited time frame within which to complete the outcome document, it would be a mistake to immediately concern ourselves with semantic or textual squabbles over preambular paragraphs at the expense of substantive decisions regarding the urgent implementation of commitments and the detailed elaboration of specific mechanisms necessary to operationalize those commitments. A rush to a textual debate, absent the appropriate substantive focus and direction, will simply produce a greatest hits regurgitation of previously agreed paragraphs from a multitude of past UN documents. We are all very familiar with the incoherent, inelegant, and impenetrable text that such a process produces. If the majority of the Rio Plus 20 outcome document is simply plagiarized from previous texts, then we would have failed to seize the historic moment confronting us today. The conference, similarly, would be an empty disappointment. I would urge, therefore, that we pause, however briefly, to see the forest before we delve headlong into the trees. The adage, haste makes waste, is applicable in this case. Let us not be so hasty to start arguing about words before we decide what we actually seek to accomplish in Brazil. Second, it is impossible to anchor our outcome document in the notion of a so-called green economy without first defining the concept. In the 17 substantive pages of the zero draft, I count at least 22 references to the green economy, yet none of those references offer a definition of the term. Paragraph 26 of the zero draft tells me what a green economy hopes to achieve, and paragraph 27 tells me what the green economy is not. But search as I might, I could not glean what the green economy actually is, substantively or conceptually. Listening to the discussion yesterday, it is clear that the phrase green economy means many different things to many different delegations. It is not possible, Mr. Chairman, for us to be ambiguous or attempt to finesse such a central tenet of the outcome document. We must define it with precision. If the concept cannot be defined, then it is merely the latest example of unfortunate UN sloganeering that signifies nothing. If that is the case, it should be excised from the text in the interest of our own credibility. Third, we must confront head-on the fact that development costs money, and that mere good intentions or political reaffirmations, no matter how eloquently captured in the preambular paragraphs, will not produce a scintilla of development or change the life of any individual living in a developing country. We must acknowledge that development requires development assistance, that the current levels of development assistance are woefully inadequate, and that the previous commitments voluntarily made have not been forthcoming. Having acknowledged these facts, we must establish mechanisms for the prompt and reliable delivery of previously pledged development assistance. Finally, Mr. Chairman, we must remember at all times that this conference seeks to address the needs that are urgent and in the interest of the peoples of the developing world. The negotiation of this text is not the usual diplomatic parlor game that seeks to locate some mythical equidistant sweet spot between the interests of the developed and developing world. The needs and interests of the people of the developing world are paramount in this process, for it is in their name that we are holding this conference. If this text or this conference fails to elaborate a sufficiently ambitious outcome tailored to the needs of developing countries, then that failure will be felt disproportionately by the peoples of the developing world. Inaction is only an option to those in cases for whom development is less than an urgent priority. As such, our text, our conference, and your decisions as co-chairs must not only be action-oriented, but development-oriented, in the interest not of sterile diplomatic balance, but of the peoples and nations of the developing world. It is the primacy of this people-centered concept of development that must animate our discussions in the coming weeks. I thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Praise not Beria. Thank you, Ambassador Shakespeare. Venezuela.
Gracias.
Thank you, sir, Mr. Co-Chairman. We endorse the statement made by the representative of Algeria on behalf of the G77 in China. Mr. Chairman, now we will present the preliminary considerations of Venezuela on the zero draft document. We consider that a new mirage is being promoted in the area of development. While talking about a low-carbon economy, the necessary actions to achieve sustainable development worldwide are left aside. Further, consumption and production patterns that are destroying the planet continue to be promoted. We are concerned that the document lacks actions aimed at strengthening the efforts that developing countries have been promoting through concrete plans for the use of natural resources, plans that strengthen social inclusion and environmental protection. We defend the interdependence and complementarity of the three pillars of sustainable development. We demand that priority not continue to be given to economic development, which has been aimed at benefiting just a few among the multinational corporations. This has destroyed ecosystems and it has multiplied the poverty of both the people and the land. We reiterate our disagreement with the idea that Rio Plus 20 would serve to legitimize the so-called green economy, converting nature into a type of commodity under the current capitalist predator model. Current patterns of consumption and production promote an income distribution that consolidates poverty, and it brings an intensive use of natural resources, which leads to the destruction of the planet. This is the heart of the problem, Mr. Chairman, and it should be tackled with concrete measures that guarantee social development, social justice, and environmental protection. The current model leaves aside environmental sustainability, and priority is given instead to the alleged socio-environmental responsibility of the private sector, a private sector which merely seeks lucrative business to the detriment of the ecosystems. The goal of this is merely to defend the interests of the transnational corporations and the international financial sector. The principles of non-discrimination and equality are essential, and they should be central in bringing about social, environmental, and political dimensions of sustainable development. These are cross-cutting. Mr. Chairman, much progress has been made in Venezuela in public policies that bring about social inclusion and the eradication of hunger. With oil resources, our country has achieved the MDGs and has managed to become, in Latin America and according to reliable statistics, Venezuela has become the most egalitarian country and the number two country in Latin American poverty reduction. We must then bring an effective technology transfer. This requires creating an international environment that is conducive to the elimination of all neo-protectionist technical, legislative, and administrative barriers. Transforming this technology transfer into a business full of conditions and with an eye on imperial domination prevents developing countries from fair access to technology transfer, and it prevents them from fully complying with Chapter 34 of Agenda 21 and Bali's strategic plan. In the developed world, Mr. Chairman, there are large surpluses of capital despite the deep political, social, and economic crises that is currently facing the failed model of capital accumulation into the hands of just a few. Through various mechanisms, there has been a massive transfer of capital from states, that is to say from middle and lower classes, to the financial sector. This has brought a consolidation of the monopoly of capital in an extremely small private sector. The economic and financial, the regulation of fair and fair distribution of economic activities are necessary for the existence of humanity and the planet. To achieve these goals, we must avoid the gross profits of financial capital and the big corporations. Mr. Chairman, we are concerned that the energy issue can be based on the initiative of the Secretary General in the document entitled Sustainable Energy for All. It has a mistaken approach as it qualifies the use of fossil fuels as a problem. The use of oil is not a problem. The problem is its unrestricted and irrational use. Fossil fuels must be recognized as important components of the energy mix. It has been so in the last century. The past patterns should be considered a problem. We reiterate that the issue of the access to energy must be approached with an inclusive system aimed at promoting the diversification of the world's energy matrix in order to improve the efficiency and conservation of natural energetic resources, both renewable and non-renewable. This is aimed at preventing the irrational use of renewable resources, and that they were, and this that this remained a threat to security and the human right to food, as is the case of the so-called biofuels. It is essential that the use and transfer of advanced technologies, cleaner, both for the use of fossil fuels and for the development of renewable energies. Access to energy must be guaranteed for developing countries. We see this in Venezuela through energy cooperation programs with sister nations of Latin America and the Caribbean. Hence, cooperation without discrimination, cooperation for the development of our peoples, and we must ensure at the same time a return to producing countries of this type of energy. We must also recognize cooperation and initiatives for energy integration, for sustainable and solidary use of energy, such as we see in Petrocaribe and Nunasur, which seek to combine the use of renewable and non-renewable energies. We reaffirm that the various mandates relating to the international economic and social cooperation, which are reflected in the Zero Draft, must be based in Chapters 9 and 10 of the UN Charter. Therefore, they must be under the authority of the General Assembly and ECOSOC in order to ensure a collective control of, by the states and not by the bureaucracy. The UN Conference on Sustainable Development, Rio Plus 20, must produce a concise, inclusive, and action-oriented document. It must include initiatives that promote universal and secure access to food, water, energy, agriculture, housing, decent jobs, justice, and democracy. The United Nations cannot be asked to become a promoter of pro-cyclical policies. These policies multiply the poverty of our people and of the land. Therefore, developed countries must comply with the financial transfers and technology transfers and the internationally agreed upon commitments and objectives. We reaffirm, sir, our commitment to achieve at the CSD outcomes that contribute to humanity and the planet overcome what they face in the future, which is genocide and ecocide and geocide. I thank you.
The host country of the conference, Brazil.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. First of all, Brazil associates itself with the statement made by Algeria on behalf of the Group of 77 in China. I would like to congratulate the co-chairs and the secretariat for their excellent work on the zero drafts of the Rio Plus 20 outcome documents. Mr. Chairman, Brazil would like to answer to Ambassador Shah's call that Rio Plus 20 must be a conference on coherence, integration, and implementation. We have to relate these priorities into actions at three levels. We have to make sure Rio Plus 20 inspires and guides the world community at the multilateral level, at the national level, including governments at city and regional levels, but also at the level of the many actors of the civil society that are key in this process. First, at the multilateral level, we believe that Rio Plus 20 must lead to the integration of the sustainable development paradigm in the activities of international organizations and institutions. We know sustainable development is the right answer, but we also know it is not yet the widely adopted paradigm it should be. Second, at the national level, Rio's outcome must encompass solutions for enhancing coherence among national policies and development strategies. Governments at city and regional levels have a key role to play, because some of the best ideas today come at these levels, and we must listen to them. Third, on what concerns civil society, Rio Plus 20 must engage and empower civil society organizations to ensure their effective participation in the debate and the implementation of sustainable development, and make sure that governments are fulfilling their commitments with their societies. Mr. Chairman, at the multilateral level, Brazil is convinced that a set of sustainable development goals could contribute greatly to mainstreaming sustainable development at all levels. The SDGs will certainly be enriched by the experience we developed in the Millennium Development Goals, but with a very important difference. The SDGs must involve actions from all countries, stimulating even the most developed countries to move towards more sustainable practices. We know MDGs were developed having in mind the most vulnerable and to address the most basic needs. The SDGs will have a global and comprehensive reach, addressing, among other key issues, and sustainable patterns of production and consumption in developed countries. Having in mind always that poverty eradication remains the utmost priority, we have to make sure that sustainable development guides our long-term response to economic, social, and environmental challenges. And the SDGs can help us in this way. Along with the SDGs, Brazil also believes that Rio Plus 20 should discuss ways for ensuring that we have the appropriate instruments to assess adequately the path towards sustainable development. We have to be able to evaluate the complex and interconnected nature of issues. A global sustainable development report or outlook that draws upon the work of the UN system, including the financial and trade organizations, would represent a fundamental move in that direction. Such a global outlook would provide an integrated assessment using the diversified data and reports compiled and developed by international organizations and institutions. Finally, all these elements, the SDGs, the improved and integrated data and evaluations, a global report or outlook, they only make sense in the context of a strengthened institutional framework for sustainable development that effectively ensures a coherent treatment of the three pillars. Sustainable Development Council has to be the forum where member states will address the effective integration and coherence of national and international efforts towards sustainable development. And a strong and comprehensive institutional framework for sustainable development is an essential condition for better assessing the options for strengthening the environmental pillar. The stronger the institutional solution we find for sustainable development, the more we will be able to strengthen the environmental pillar. Mr. Chairman, for all of these proposals to have a chance of succeeding, we must commit to working inside our countries with all the ministries responsible for the three pillars of sustainable development. This will ensure that sustainable development is once and for all integrated into our national development planning. Without such an internal commitment to sustainable development, multilateral processes will not produce the desired results. As a means of conclusion, I would like to point out Brazil's commitment to the strengthening of civil society participation in multilateral processes, particularly those related to sustainable development. The continuous empowerment of women is crucial in this context. The Earth Summit in Rio in 1992 was the first major international conference to effectively engage civil society and go beyond the realms of national governments and international organizations. In June, when we meet once again in Rio, Brazil wants to take that participation a step further and discuss effective, realistic, and action-oriented ways for ensuring that civil society organizations take part in the discussion and implementation. If the civil society does not engage actively in this agenda, we will not achieve what we want in Rio. That is why we must work for an outcome document that is relevant and meaningful at these three levels I mentioned earlier. Relevant and effective at multilateral level, at national level, and embraced by civil society. Brazil believes that the Zero Draft is a good start on this path and invites all stakeholders to accept the challenge of being ambitious and pursue an outcome document that effectively answers to the expectations of our societies. Thank you very much.
And now we have the UN system. So the next three speakers on my list are UNEP, UNDP, and ILO. UNEP, you have the floor.
Chairman, Mr. Kutcher, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen. UNEP welcomes this opportunity to comment on the Zero Draft of the outcome document and wishes to thank the